Good afternoon. You're listening to Verum Sports. This is Tony Rice. And I tell you what, when we're joined by this guy, a St. Albans resident, I always feel like I just simply have to give it almost a bit of a massive promo. So here it goes. By way of Huddersfield, but living and residing and training from the mighty city of St. Albans, he is the first ever bronze medalist at the Olympic Games in men's doubles badminton. He is a gold medal, silver medal, and a bronze medalist from the last year's Commonwealth Games. He is a badminton supremo, and he is coming back to Verum Sports. Good morning and welcome, Marcus Ellis. How you doing?
I'm very good, thank you.
Hey, top man. Well, goodness me, that is, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg of your amazingly successful career. And it's still going apace. I know you still hold strong ambitions to get back and do your thing at the Olympics. But do you just ever, whilst you're still going, just take a little moment to go, my goodness me, boy done good?
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes you do have your reflection moments, but I think I'm going to try and save that for, you know, towards the end of my career, just because I think sometimes as a sports person, if you get a good result and you look back on it too much, I think you sometimes can settle and accept what you've done is, obviously it's really good, but there's still several years ahead of you, and there's still a lot more to achieve, a lot more tournaments where hopefully you can do one better. So I try not to think about it too much. Obviously if I was to retire today, I'd be like really, really happy with, sure, you know, what I've achieved. But I think, you know, that hopefully there's still a few years ahead where I can go further than what I have already.
Well, look, like I say, Marcus, you know, what you've achieved already is absolutely phenomenal in my eyes. Again, you will always be, you know, potentially an answer to a pub quiz question through your Olympic efforts. And again, you know, I don't want to go over old ground too much with you, because I know it's all about the attitude, looking ahead, building always to the next steps. But just take us back momentarily to the Rio Games. And, you know, this is one of the greatest stories, I think, in sport in such a long time. Coming into this tournament, you were ranked, you and Chris Longbridge, your partner, 22nd in the world. You weren't exactly there as a banker medal for Great Britain, and you found that way to just kind of grind your way on, coming back from adversity. It must have been amazing then, when it was all said and done, to be on that podium.
Yeah, the whole thing was an amazing experience. Obviously, the Olympics is only, you know, well, it depends how long you're there, 2 to 3 weeks. The hardest part for us was the qualification period, which was the year before, where you're having to travel probably every other week. I know it sounds glamorous, but it's, you know, it's really, really not. You know, some of the places you have to go and compete, and it's a year-long process leading up to the Olympics of qualification.
Sure.
That was really, really tough for us. And, you know, going into the Olympics, I think we had a sigh of relief, to be honest, just that we were actually there, because, and I think that made us relax. And you know, we ended up playing some of the best badminton we've ever played, and you know, that reflected in the result. And you know, it's just one of those, you know, really crazy weeks that, you know, we will always look back on.
Sure thing.
Me and Chris are definitely looking forward to Tokyo. We've already started planning. What, because the qualification for Tokyo starts the 1st of May. So, you know, plans are way underway already about what we're going to do, how we're going to approach the whole qualification period. And, you know, fingers crossed we can make it again and see what we can do.
We'll follow you all the way, Marcus. Again, I just think it's phenomenal. And obviously wishing you well with that process. Obviously, the last time we spoke was the amazing Commonwealth Games. It was awesome to chat to you about the kind of, I guess they're called the friendly games, aren't they? And the kind of the atmosphere there. But nevertheless, you know, this is still one of the preeminent sporting festivals and tournaments in the world. And that was a heck of a tournament for you. The clean sweep of medals. What a run again.
Yeah, I know. What it seems like these multi-sport environments I seem to thrive on. I don't know exactly why. You're right. The Commonwealth Games, you know, I've only been to one Commonwealth Games and I've only been to one Olympics, so that's all I can compare a multi-sport event too. They are very different. The Olympics is very intense. It seems like every country, every participant is there as a 100% wanting to win a medal and 100% professional, whereas maybe the Commonwealth Games, there are some countries or participants there who are just absolutely delighted to be there and be part of the whole sporting environment. Having said that, in badminton, there are several countries that take the Commonwealth very seriously.
Sure.
It means a lot to them, England being one of them. So it's still in badminton. I don't know, I can't really speak for other sports, but for badminton, it's still not an easy task. Hopefully I'll go to another Commonwealth Games, but there's no guarantees in sport. So having the full set of medals already, if you like, I'd have preferred it to be 3 golds, obviously, but to have the medals behind my back. Hopefully going into the next one, which is the home Commonwealth Games, would be pretty cool.
Anyway, coming back now to the kind of focus, which is your wonderful sport of badminton. We're coming up next week in Birmingham to what's been dubbed the Wimbledon of badminton, the Yonex All England Open, 6th to the 10th of March. I would say astonishing to me. It shouldn't be, because obviously we live in a global world. But it's amazing, because obviously so much of our focus when it comes to sport is on, I guess you could call it the big three, football, cricket, rugby, in whatever order. But there's so many other amazing sports, badminton not least, one of them. But amazingly, 168 million people across the world are going to be watching the All England final. It really is an astonishing global sport you're involved in.
Yeah, I think... we're a very small country with a relatively small population compared to quite a few other countries. If you look at badminton as a sport in China, I think they've got it's 1.4 billion people, and it's their second sport behind table tennis. And then in India, you've got well over maybe 1.2 billion people, and badminton's quick approaching one of their most popular sports behind cricket.
Sure.
So, right there, you've got maybe 2.5 billion people who are really, really into badminton and maybe see badminton like the Brits would see, like you say, rugby or football. So, even though maybe in the UK the hype isn't there, certainly across the globe, Southeast Asia and India, it's getting bigger and bigger. It's quite an exciting for the future. I think for the guys who are just coming through the juniors now, I think there is a great future for them if they really want to push forward and do it.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm sure you're determined to do incredibly well in this coming up tournament. I'm sure you will. Just a quick one. There's always lots of these kind of debates. It's interesting, and I guess it's hard to quantify, but there is a case to be made, isn't there, that badminton is the kind of the quickest, the fastest game on earth,
yeah.
And certainly in terms of reaction speed, it's got to be astronomical. Just to, again, frame that for us, and like you say, maybe it's not getting enough hype. Hype up your wonderful sport.
Yeah, so yeah, we have put a stat out there where we've measured some of the fastest sports. So we had the quickest speed of a Formula One car, the fastest tennis serve, things like this. And then we measured the fastest badminton smash when it travelled across the net.
Yep.
And it was 420 kilometres per hour.
Hold on, whoa, just say that one more time, because that's slightly blown my fragile little mind.
Yeah, so when the fastest smash that's ever been recorded in badminton, when it travelled across the net by one of the speed guns, it was at 420 kilometres per hour. If you compare that to a tennis serve, maybe... 250 to 300 kilometres per hour maybe at the fastest. So that puts into perspective how quick your reactions need to be at the very top level. That's kind of like a stat that we've put out to try and make people appreciate how fast badminton can be and how quick people really need to be to actually play that sport.
I mean, like I say, just the reflexes to be able to kind of even have half a chance of, you know, getting that back when it's coming at you at that pace. Obviously, that's the fastest, but let's consider that the averages are only going to be sort of nominally below that. You know, again, it is athleticism, you know, human endeavour at the absolute highest heights, Marcus. Truly, I salute you for rising to the absolute apex of your wonderful sport.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Just a few final quick questions, Marcus, because I always very much appreciate your time. And again, I don't want to dwell on too much old ground, but the things that really, really did get my goat post the Olympics, as you well know, you know, you guys come back from Rio, you've created this this record, this little slice of history, and in everything I've ever known, in any walk of life, sport, of course, inclusive, usually when you excel, you expect, anticipate, you know, to be rewarded, and certainly, you know, just a little pat on the back at the very least. And yet, for some reason still I can't quite fathom, badminton, along with a whole heap of other sports, literally had its funding removed post your victory. And I just still find that staggering. I know there was money coming in recently, but as far as I can understand, correct me if I'm wrong, Marcus, despite once again you and Chris being the, you know, the preeminent guys in that. I know, you know, the lots of other players doing very, very well. I believe that you are not actually going to get access to this new pool of money. Is this the scenario? And again, can you just shed some light on that kind of context?
Yeah, so as you said, up until recently, we actually didn't receive any funding from UK Sport. We're one of a handful of sports that got funding completely cut after the Olympics, and then I think it was about maybe a couple of months ago now, they announced that they were going to give an award or allotment of money for coming up year to try and aid people to qualify for Tokyo, and that was all that it could be for.
Sure.
So obviously, I'm certainly not in control of that money. It will be our association that spends that as they see fit for the program, for the people, for the players. So maybe they may all get extra staff. They can choose to spend the money how they see fit.
I understand.
You know, it is absolutely their job. Whether it will benefit me in the next 18 months, I certainly hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it means, you know, I get access to some physio, or it might not be, you know, money directly, but, you know, maybe I can just get some help from somewhere that maybe I couldn't have got before. And, you know, every little does help.
It truly does. And fingers crossed for you, because you are a champion who deserves this. Always, Marcus, want to talk to you. Again, just want to invite you, because, as you say, this process of getting to the Olympics, you know, it is a year in itself of endeavours, travelling across the planet, sometimes to some, shall we say, not mega glamorous places. And again, every single penny will assist. If there's listeners, you know, able to support a local champion, Olympic level athlete, it'd be awesome if you can. And if you could just give us maybe your social media feeds and connections, just in case anybody listening is in a position to offer you that every penny counts type of support.
You've basically said it there. A full tournament program for us will cost, you know, somewhere in the region of, you know, £25,000 to £30,000, which, you know, for a great deal of the population is probably a yearly person's wage. You know, it really is a demanding sport to qualify for an Olympics. You know, we really have reached out, both me and Chris, before to try and get any help that we can.
Sure.
And sometimes we've been a little bit successful, sometimes we haven't. But I am on all social media pages. I'm very, very easy to contact, and I do respond to all the messages that come through. So, you know, if anybody out there does want to help, can see, you know, maybe me and Chris at the Olympics and feel like you helped us get there, you know, we would really appreciate it. And I'm sure we could be of benefit to you also. So, you know, if if it's something anyone would be interested in, you know, I'd encourage you to do so, because I think it'd be an amazing feeling.
It really, really would. And again, you know, living and training out at St. Albans, the local guy doing great, great things. Every single penny helps. If you're in a position to assist, do look out and investigate. Find Marcus Ellis all over social media. Again, he is a real champion and a champion bloke as well, I would believe. Marcus, before I let you go, final quick question to you. I've got to ask you about Huddersfield. Again, it's looking grim, but a really decent result for the first time in a wee while the other midweek. Do you still have the faith? Do you still think they could work the Oracle and survive?
I think it's going to be very, very tough for them now. I actually went. I was very lucky, and I was invited to go and watch them in the box against Arsenal a couple of weeks ago. But you know, and it was amazing. And to be honest, they played really, really well. I went to watch them a couple of years ago, and the improvement they've made is, you know, it is amazing. But I think it will be a big ask for them to stay up. But hopefully they can, you know, hopefully make a couple of good signings in the summer and then bounce back.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm still a believer in miracles. Until it's mathematically done, you're still in the game and it's still in the promised land, where I know an awful lot of clubs would dream of being. Marcus, it's always a dream to chat to you. You're living your dream, sir. You really are. Again, just keep doing your thing. Good luck in the All Englands, and I look forward to chatting to you in the near future.
Thanks very much, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.